One of the characteristics of Talmud Torah is the impact upon those who study it, and the impact that it's supposed to have. I suspect that Chazal, for this reason, were extremely perplexed by the phenomenon of Elisha ben Avuya. The Gemara in Chagiga describes how Chazal were so disturbed how such a thing was possible. How could you have someone who was so engaged in the study of Torah and turn out to be this way? The Gemara in Brachos, describing the day that Rabban Gamliel was thrown out as Nasi, states that Oso Ayom Silku L'Shomer Pesach V'Nitno Lohem Rishus L'Talmidim Likanes. They threw out the guard, they took the guards away from the doors, and they allowed all the Talmidim who wanted to enter the Beis Medrash. Shehaya Rabban Gamliel Machriz V'Omer Kol Talmid Shein Tocho Kivaro Lo Yikanes L'Beis HaMedrash. Any Talmud Chacham whose inside is not pure like his outside, like the show he puts on, should not enter the Beis HaMedrash. Ahuyoma itovsu kama safsali. That day, many benches had to be added to the Beis HaMedrash. There wasn't enough space. And the Gemara discusses how many benches? 400 benches, 700 benches. Hava kachal shadate de Rabban Gamliel. He was very upset. Omar dilma chas v'shalom anati Torah mi Yisrael. Have I held back people from studying Torah? Achsu le bechelma. That night they showed him in a dream. Chatzve chivare demolya and kitma. They showed him white barrels, pure-looking barrels that were filled with dirty ashes. And the message was, you didn't do wrong. These were Talmidim who were not roy. Their toch was one thing, and their bar was another. The Gemara in Yoma, Dafayin Beis Amid Beis, quotes a famous announcement Rav Yanai used to make, Chaval al-deles le-darasa vitara le-darasa aved. Woe to a person who builds a gateway to his courtyard, but there's no courtyard to enter. And the mashal that the Gemara is giving is that the gateway is Talmud Torah, but the courtyard that a person is supposed to enter is Yirah Shamayim. The Sfas Emes points out that obviously if a person's only gateway to Yirah Shamayim is Talmud Torah, how else can you build, what else can you do other than have a gateway before you have a courtyard if you can't achieve Yirah Shamayim without Talmud Torah? So he explains the obvious, that obviously a person has to start out as a Ben Torah by studying Torah, but if a person only builds a gateway and there's no courtyard that eventually grows around that, there's no point in having a gateway. And so I think there are many Ma'amori Chazal that demonstrate the importance of the impact that Torah has to have upon character. This evening I wanted to dedicate a few minutes to one very important issue that in many cases I think can be a positive or negative reflection upon the character of B'nai Torah. And that is the issue of Kedushas HaZman, the importance of time. In this week's Parsha and Parshas Kedoshim, the Torah speaks about the prohibition of pigul. Pigul comes in two flavors. One is pigul chutz l'zmano, technically pigul, and one of them is pigul chutz l'mkomo. Pigul means I'm doing a karban, I'm performing one of the four major avodos, and when I'm doing the avoda, I have in mind to eat the karban either in the wrong place, chutz l'mkomo, or to eat it chutz l'zmano. The Torah punishes us for both of them, but interestingly enough, the punishment differs. When it comes to pigul chutz l'mkomo, one who eats that karban, basar from that karban, is chayiv malkos. But that's it. But a person who eats pigul chutz l'zmano, not only does he get malkos, but he's chayiv kares. The same distinction applies not only by machshava, but by maisa as well. If a person takes the meat of the karban that's supposed to be eaten in the azara, he carries it out and eats it in Yushalayim, or even certainly outside of Yushalayim. It's called basar hayotze chutz l'mechitzaso. He violates a losase, he gets malkos. But if he takes the basar of a karban and he leaves it beyond the designated time, it's nosar. And one who eats nosar is chayiv kares. So very clearly here, the Torah has distinguished between kedushas hamakom and kedushas man. And while obviously kedushas hamakom is very important, Kedushas Zman is even more important and perhaps more dangerous. The place, a holy place, a Beis Medrash, a Beis HaKnesses, the Har HaBayis, in some sense, it's always there. The Ha'aretz Le'olam HaMades. But Zman is an entity which is irreplaceable. Once the time has gone, it's gone. You can't get it back. In the words of Eov, Halot Zavon Lenosh Alei Oretz V'chimei Sochir Yamav. We have a fixed time on this earth, and if you permit me the Darshan's license, to some extent we live on borrowed time. Perhaps some of us are misled by a pasuk in Daniel, which I believe is the origin for the modern expression of buying time, when Nebuchadnezzar accuses the Harashim, his sorcerers. He says to them, Idana Antun Zavnun, you're buying time, you're stalling. So perhaps some have misunderstood and thought that time is a quantity that can be acquired. It's not. Once the time is gone, it's gone. Dar holeich v'dar ba, but the makam v'aretz lo lama mades. The Gemara in Erevin tells the story of Rav Chisda's daughter. Her father, Rav Chisda, was always learning, and it seemed that he really rarely took a nap. She said to him, Lo boi mar meinam purta, Abba, maybe you want to sleep a little bit. Amar Allah, he said to her, Hashta asu yome dariche uketine, v'neinam tuva. There will become days that are very long, and there are no mitzvah and mitzvahs, as Rashi explains, to perform on them. I'll get to sleep then. But right now, this is the time that I have. And so, I think it's very clear, the emphasis from here and from many other Makoros, the importance and the value of paying careful attention to time. There are a lot of very practical issues that relate to B'nai Torah that have an impact both in Milei D'Alma and Milei D'Shemaya with respect to time. With regards to Milei D'Shemaya, so the potential danger in losing track of time is the retardation of our own spiritual development. In the context of Milei D'Alma, of dealing with other people, the impact in some ways is even greater. Not only does it impede our spiritual development, but it reflects poorly upon us, and it ultimately is a Chilul Hashem. And unfortunately, all of us sometimes do not pay sufficient heed to this, and we act in the spirit as if Zman Zmanam Zmaneyam Lomash Malan. We don't pay any attention to the value of time. I wanted to speak a few minutes about a number of issues, some of which perhaps are not timely, this being the end of the Zman, some of which are certainly very timely, and all of them I think are at least can be taken into consideration going on in the future, and even after we return after the summer. The first one is attendance in Seder. Now, I know I should qualify my remarks by saying I could be accused to some extent of preaching to the converted, because the mere fact that many of the people are here tonight are people who are more attentive to these issues. But nonetheless, I think we all need a certain kind of chizuk. Attendance in Seder is something that should be on time, the whole time, and all of the time. Barring unusual circumstances, perhaps if there was all the traffic lights on Amsterdam Avenue are broken, and there's an endless stream of cars, and it's pikuach nefesh to cross the street, and this all happens at 8:55 in the morning. So that's a possibility, but that's not a typical occurrence. So barring that possibility, there is no reason why a Talmud in this yeshiva, who lives on campus, and some people don't, but someone who lives here, there is no reason why a person should be in the Beis Medrash after 9 o'clock. It's not difficult to get here. The sidewalks are usually in order, the streets are usually in order, you can be here. Now, obviously, one consideration has to be the minyan that a person attends. If you attend an 8:30 minyan, I think it's fairly simple to see that it's min hanimna that someone could possibly be in Seder on time. It might even be true for I don't know what the minyanim are like now, but when I was a Talmud, there was an 8:10 minyan in the Morag Lounge. I don't know what the zmanim are now. But even such a minyan, it's very difficult if you think you need to eat breakfast, which is a good thing, to be in Seder on time. If you're going to be in Seder on time, which is the appropriate thing to do, you need to plan in advance. You need to be able to get up for a minyan at an appropriate time. You need to daven there. You need to take care of whatever you need to take care of before 9 o'clock so that a person can begin his morning Seder at 9 o'clock. And if people are being interrupted in the middle of morning Seder for various considerations, then perhaps a person has too many outside commitments. You come to morning Seder, and barring unusual circumstances, you stay in morning Seder. And the lost time, when you just look around, can be staggering. 5 minutes here, 5 minutes there. All of this time adds up. And I would assume it would be more understandable if we could say about ourselves, Kulanu Chachamim, Kulanu Nevonim, Kulanim Yodim Es HaTorah. Not that Bitul Torah is mutter then, but I would understand it a little more. But the time, the amazing amount of time that adds up is just incredible. And here I should add a footnote. I don't know what the official schedule says now, but when I was a Talmud in the Yeshiva, and I think it's still officially the same way, morning Seder on full days is till 12 o'clock, and Shir is at 12:45. Now, many of the Rosh Yeshiva have made a pedagogical decision in response to the needs of the Talmidim that they need a little more Seder and a little less Shir. Sitting so long is very hard for many people. They got used to a certain length of Shir in Eretz Yisrael. That's very nice. But if the Rebbe shortens the Shir by 15 minutes or by 30 minutes, that's not so that people can have a lunch break that's an hour and 15 minutes long. So if most of the Shirim, I'm not sure how many shiurim start before 1 o'clock, that means that people shouldn't be emptying out of the base medrash till 12:15. And for those people whose Rabbeim start a little bit later, so you can calculate. It's not higher mathematics. It's 45 minutes for lunch. There's no reason that extending, that reducing the time of shiur should be a reduction in the amount of time dedicated to Talmud Torah. It's to enhance one's Talmud Torah by allowing more time for hachana, not to take away from the learning time so people can deal with all sorts of other issues. Timely attendance in shir and in classes. And this is an issue of basic derech eretz. It applies not only to the yeshiva, it applies to the college as well. When a Talmud walks into shir or into a class late, it's disruptive, and it reflects a basic lack of derech eretz towards the Rebbe, towards the professor, and towards one's fellow students. I see it all the time, into my shir, into other shirim. I see Talmidim walking where I can tell very clearly they're late. I see it in college classes all the time. This reflects very poorly upon B'nai Torah. It reflects very poorly on all people, but Kal v'chomer on B'nai Torah. Said you're supposed to be in a certain place at a certain time, and that's where you should be there at that time, or early. There is a long history to this idea of Jewish time, that we run a little bit late. Rashi in Parshas Yisro quotes on the words B'yos HaBoker, the Ribbono Shel Olam, he got to Har Sinai early for Matan Torah. Early, he's the Rav, we should have been there first. In fact, we're still doing Kapur for that 3,500 years later. But nonetheless, it's clear from Chazal that this is not the way things are normally supposed to be. The Talmidim are supposed to be there before the Rebbe is there, before the professor is there. There are some teachers who take attendance, and they mark lateness down, and you see students running because they don't want to be marked late. Some must feel that that's infantilizing. But nonetheless, regardless of whether a teacher does or doesn't choose to mark such, to note such things, kulei amar lo pligi, that it's inappropriate on the part of the Talmidim. Now, how does one address some of these issues of time? Because obviously there are root causes to a lot of these things. So firstly, a person has to take stock of the choices one makes. I want to start with the most basic things. A Ben Torah's responsibility in this yeshiva is first to his Talmud Torah, his morning Seder, his Shir, and then to his college classes and his work. These are the curricular activities. And here's the first pitfall. Some people bite off more than they can chew. Tafasta meruba lo tafasta. There are many factors one should take into account in choosing a college program, but one of them needs to be time considerations. And I think that to many of the Talmidim here, it's no secret that personally I place a great value in a well-rounded liberal arts education, but that's not a substitute for a Talmud being memalei kreso basar v'yayin. It's a complement, not something that's in lieu of it. I think it's important for Talmidim to take their college work seriously, to treat it with derech eretz. I think there's much to be gained from it, but you can't do 17 credits in a semester if you're going to take your learning seriously. It's just a fact of the world. The yeshiva college I attended, you might have been able to do that. The yeshiva college of today is a little bit better in many ways, maybe not always, but today it's virtually impossible to do. Not every course you take has to be the hardest course in the world, and you can't have too many of them. They should be taken seriously, they should be treated with derech eretz, but one has to weigh very carefully. That said, having identified what our basic chiyuvim are, and gadol ha-metzuvah v'yoseh mimisha ena metzuvah v'yoseh, first come your responsibilities for which you are chayiv, then one can turn one's attention to extracurricular activities. And for those who are not familiar with the English language, extracurricular means exactly that. It means what's extra. That's ena metzuvah v'yoseh. There are these activities come in many acronyms, And I don't have to single out one over the other, whether it be inside the university, outside the university. There are many good causes, but nonetheless, they are extracurricular activities, and they have to be regarded as such. No matter what the pitch someone makes to you, you have to weigh the price. How many siddurim and shiurim, mandatory ones, forget about night seder for the moment. How many of them is it going to cause you to miss? The last time I checked, the yeshiva's policy doesn't include an exemption for Sunday seder and shiur for students because you're in the ZYX or you're in the WVUT. Whatever it is, there's no patur. And you have to think about not only your siddurim, how many college classes are you going to miss for it? And what effect is that going to have on the work that you present when you hand it in? This is a reflection on you as a Ben Torah. I don't wish to deny the value of extracurricular activities. Some of them are very important. Some Talmidim, they can have a very positive impact upon Talmidim. They can be a very positive impact upon the people at whom they are directed. But nonetheless, you must remember, Gadol ha-mitzuva ve'osa mimisha ena mitzuva ve'osa. Your first responsibilities are to those things that you are obligated in. The lure of extracurricular activities is often very strong. They're very noble. They enhance your feelings. But sometimes you have to overcome the Yetzer Hara. And I should mention in this context, night seder as well. Night seder is a very important component of the yeshiva. And among the list, and I think it has to be labeled as an extracurricular activity, as important as it is, it should be one of the top priorities. At the same time, a Talmud has to be realistic when he sets up a night seder, that it's something that he can maintain, and that it's not going to impede his curricular activities, both in the college and even certainly if it's going to affect his morning seder. If a person loads up on his night seder at the beginning of the Zman, and then comes six weeks later, and he hasn't been doing his work, and then it destroys his college, it destroys his morning seder, it's Yatzas Charabef Seido. One comment, because time is short, one other area I think is also important. The issue of traveling plans. A Talmud's not mechuyev to go home every weekend, even if he lives in the New York metropolitan area, and especially if it means he's not going to be in Seder or he's going to be late in Seder on Sunday morning. I'm always amazed, Bein Hazmanim, when the university gives off a travel day for Pesach, so apparently many of the Talmudim think that it's a mitzvah lehosif. And I never understood this. You pay a lot of money to come here, you miss people will miss days of Seder and Shir because they have to leave early. The yeshiva, the university, has left enough travel time for you. There's no reason that a Talmud should be leaving earlier. Recently, I encountered a Talmud who lived out of town, and I asked him what his plans were after hearing about how many people were leaving early. He said he was going to be here already through Sunday before Pesach. He was coming back, flying back the Wednesday after Pesach, and it was like a shock. And yet this Talmud seemed to feel like he was a mutant. He was so unusual that nobody else was actually staying for the Zmanim, but he was. But I ask you to consider, if they're giving an exam in the college, or a quiz, or anything of that nature, you'd probably be sure to be here to the very last minute. So you're going to miss 3 days of Shir and Seder? That's not important? That's not important enough? That's less important somehow than anything else that would be going on here? To me, it's absolutely astounding. I think this is a new phenomenon. It's a scary one. I could probably spend another hour identifying other issues related to that, but that would probably make people unhappy, and it would be inappropriate to the theme of the shmooze tonight. As I said, unfortunately, my comments come a little bit late during this man for this man, but they are relevant to something else. The Gemara in Erevin has a machlokus about what nights were created for. Some say lo nivru leilos elo l'shena, and some say they were created for girsa. But one thing is very clear. When you have chofesh, when you have a summertime, it's clear what it was created for. And I know that some people have to work, but anybody who has the opportunity not to, this is the one opportunity for a person to really grow. I hesitate to say this, but I think it's important to be said. Amaratzus is a disease. And the summer is a golden opportunity to push it into remission. It's a time when many of us are not distracted by other needs and other considerations and competing claims. It's a golden opportunity for a person to fill in the vacuum and to fill in the void. I would close with one note about a very interesting halacha that has always struck me. The din of chilul Shabbos b'shogeg. There are two kinds of chilul Shabbos b'shogeg that a person is chayav to bring a chatas on. One is shigagas malacha, a person who doesn't know that a particular halacha, a particular malacha is asur. And that's the standard kind of shgaga throughout all the Torah that appears in every area. A person who doesn't know the halacha, so he's a shogeg. The other kind of shogeg on Shabbos, though, is very unusual. It's shigagas Shabbos. It's a person who forgets that it's Shabbos. Now, without going into all the details, by normal categories, that actually should have been labeled as a misasik. It's a person who's unaware of the mitzias. If he's not aware that the stalk is attached to the ground, he thinks it's attached and he picks it up, that's a misasik. He's patur miklum. He doesn't have to bring anything. But if he doesn't know that it's Shabbos, that's also a misasik. He's unaware of the reality. And yet the Torah says he's chayv to bring a chatas. And you know why? Because you can be ignorant of certain kinds of mitzias, but you can't be ignorant of time. Shigigas man is not an acceptable shkaga on which a person will be patur legamre. And that's why in Hilchos Shabbos there's not only shigigas malacha, but there's shigigas Shabbos as well. We now stand in the midst of Sviras HaOmer, which perhaps is the quintessential mitzvah that relates to time and paying careful attention to its passing. Some of you know Abaye's famous memra, mitzvah lemimne yomei, mitzvah lemimne shvuei. It's a mitzvah to count days, it's a mitzvah to count weeks. But for B'nai HaBeis Medrash, it's not only a mitzvah to count weeks, it's not only a mitzvah to count days, it's a mitzvah lemimne shoi, you count hours, it's a mitzvah lemimne regoyim, you count even less than minutes, and I think smaller than seconds. Our obligation as B'nai Torah is to pay careful attention to time in all of its manifestations, Bein Adam LaMakom and Bein Adam LaChavero. Otherwise, it reflects very poorly upon us as B'nai Torah. And only through the careful paying attention, tracking of time, as we see exemplified in Sfiras HaOmer, will we reach the pinnacle of our existence, Zman Matan Torah Seinu. Thank you.